Revelation chapter 12 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 15. This has nothing to do with the message, but this is a message to us as a church from the Lord. I ask for your heart. I ask for your spirit. I don't want your ears. I want your spiritual ears. I want your spirit this morning. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 15, the word of the Lord is written to the church. And the Bible says, "And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood that just came out of his mouth." Give us in the Amplified Translation. The Bible says, "And the serpent, out of his mouth came a flood. And this flood was against the woman. And what he wanted, it is for her to be swept away by the flood." That's why I said, I want your ears. I want your heart. I want your spiritual ears. Because I want to drop this into your spirit, and we will deal with this in the weeks to come. Because this is a trumpet being, it is a sound of a trumpet from the Lord. And this trumpet has to do with the judgment that God has already released over the serpent and over the flood that he has released. So then, out of his mouth, the serpent spouted forth water like a flood after the woman, that she might be carried off with the torrent. Let's look at it from NIV. Then, from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. So, who is the woman that is being targeted by the devil? Anytime you read the word and the Lord speaks of a woman, it represents the body of Christ. It represents you and I, the body of Christ. What is this water represent that came out of the mouth of this serpent? The water are the words that comes out of the mouth of the serpent. What is the main purpose of the enemy spewing out words? A river. Water represents the word. When you read the Bible, anytime you look at this symbolism of the Holy Spirit, one of it is spoken of as the water. And so, how will the devil be effective against the church? It is by defiling you. He releases the word as a river. The Bible says His main purpose is to make sure that the woman is swept. What is the river? The words that comes out of his mouth. My brothers, my sisters, I want to say to you that there is a very strategic plan of the enemy to defile you, to defile us as a church. How? By the words that are being spoken. The devil has purposefully targeted you. And I want to say to you that the enemy wants to defile you. And once you are defiled, once those words go into your ears, they go, let me tell you, there is nothing as powerful as a spoken word. Because that word pierces through your eardrums. They go into your heart. They go into your spirit. They become part of you. And they are stored in your subconscious mind. And they keep on playing in you like a movie. You can hear the voice. You can hear the voice. So I want to say to you, and I'm saying this as a prophet of God, that some of you who feel so much at liberty to gossip, to sow seeds of discord in this body, to slander people, and to do whatever you think you want to do, I want to say to you, you are exactly where the devil wants you to be. He will release that word. And you, as the body of Christ, you have to stop the work of the enemy. Number one, you cannot give him your ears. Number two, you cannot surrender to his control. And number three, you cannot entertain this demonic entity. Because eventually, what it does is to kill you spiritually. And after, this demon spirit that comes from... this spirit is driven by pride. It is Jezebelic. It operates through the familiar spirits, which I'm not going to teach you today, because these, I wanted just to blow the trumpet, because when God sounds the trumpet, it's for a reason. And I want to say to you, you who are entertaining these seeds of discord, you receive, whether it's a phone call or you hear, I want to say to you, if you do not stop it, you become part of it. And when the judgment of God is released over the serpent, the judgment is also released over the hearer, because you become a co-conspirator. We have God as a saint, as a body of Christ. We have God to fight for the unity of the body. I told you in the beginning of the year, and I told you, I said, when I say what I say here, I take my words very seriously, and I don't just speak to speak. I told you this is a year of new beginning. It's a year of practicality and a year of application. And I want to say to you, this year, it doesn't matter what the sideshows of the enemy are. There is an elevation in the spirit that God is calling you into. But for you to get where God wants you and to the levels that God wants you to be in, you're going to fight some forces. Just as God uses people, the devil uses people. You have God to know that your next level is subject to a spiritual warfare. And how you navigate that battle, how you fight that war, depends your next level. Are we together? That is your responsibility. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord spoke very powerfully. He said, I'm building my church. Peter was dealing with this, and he said, we are spiritual stones. spiritual blocks, building a spiritual dwelling for the Lord. But may I say to you that the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit is the familiar spirits. The familiar spirits come to counterfeit the move of God. May I say to you that the familiar spirits hates authority, and especially the prophetic authority, that you may be labeled as the angry one, because it hates that authority that comes out of you. But you have got not to be timid, and you have got not to be, allow yourself not to be in cocooned in this spirit of trying to please people, that anything goes, because God will hold you accountable. If you read the word and study the Bible very carefully, there is nothing that God says men will give an account for. But he said every word that you have ever spoken, you will give an account for it. I will give an account for it. And so I come to declare that these wiles of the enemy that are being released to you through the tongue, I come with a power from heaven and authority from heaven to speak judgment over that very tongue in the name of Jesus. And I want to say, this is the beginning of the end of the functioning of that demon spirit in the church. And I told God this week, as he was dealing with me about these issues, I told God, I said, Father, as long as I remain, and as long as you give me the grace and the breath to be the under-shepherd of Kingdom Ambassadors Church, I will do whatever it's within the confinements of the Word of God to make sure that I become and I am that shepherd who keeps the flock safe, because I am not going to be judged by God because I was irresponsible with my responsibilities as a shepherd. When a shepherd sees a wolf coming, what do? After the flock, they go after the wolf. That's why David, in the Bible, he went after the bear. He went after the lion. Why? Because he was a responsible shepherd. And I take my responsibilities very seriously. And so I sound this trumpet to you. And I will say to you, you who have ears to hear what the Lord is saying. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May I tell you, I love when God uncovers the devil, because my victory begins right there. So let's go into the message. And I've been talking about the first fruits. And I want to take you back there, but this time I want to take you into the book of Joshua. And I want to speak to you a little bit about Joshua and the children of Israel and the declaration that were. Remember that there are five areas of your life. Five areas that do not belong to you. Number one, your life does not belong to you. Number two, your time does not belong to you. Number three, your talents do not belong to you. Number four, your possessions do not belong to you. Number five, your finances do not belong to you. You are a steward of all those five areas that I just mentioned. In Ezekiel 34, verse 19 to 26, I'm going to read very quickly. All that opened the womb is mine. Every male firstborn among your livestock, whether an ox or sheep, but the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck, and all the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. And none shall appear before me empty-handed. Come on, somebody repeat that. And no, none of you shall appear before the Lord empty what? Empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. That's amazing. That the time of plowing and the time of harvest, God is calling you into a rest. And you shall observe the feast of the weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year, all your young men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel, for I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in a year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat with its mother's milk. Let's go into Joshua chapter 6. Here Joshua takes the leadership of the nation of Israel. And the first thing that the Lord does with Joshua in his leadership, it is to lead the children of Israel into Jericho. All together, I'm giving you time to open, all together, Joshua conquered 31 cities. In other words, he fought 31 battles. Jericho was the first city that the Lord had given to the children of Israel and delivered into their hands. So let's read this in Joshua 6, verse 18 and 19. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver, come on, somebody read with me, and all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come in the treasury of who? Of the treasury of the Lord. Excuse me. So now, let me lay this foundation for you. Joshua is told by God, go over, and I'm not going to go all the way to how the spies were sent. But now the Lord has given Jericho into the hands of the sons and the daughters of Israel under the leadership of Pastor Joshua. And Joshua gives a declaration to them. He says, everything that we are going into in Jericho is accursed. But he put an exception. He said, except the gold, the silver, the bronze, all the precious. He said, these are consecrated to the Lord. And he said, stay away from the cursed stuff. You remember when Saul, when sent by God to go and fight the Amalekites? What did he do? He took King Agag and all the fatlings of the land and he took them back into the nation of Israel. And because of it, God rejected him and God released an unclean spirit over him to trouble him, and he took the kingship away from Saul and his descendants. That's how David became the king. You see the seriousness of walking in obedience. So here it is. Joshua said, all the silver and the gold are consecrated to the Lord. Let's go into verse 24. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire, only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of what? Of the Lord's house. Come on, somebody talk to me. They burned everything else except, the Bible says, silver, gold, vessels of bronze and iron they brought into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Joshua 7, verse 10 and 12. Now Joshua, they have already conquered what? Jericho, because they burned the city with what? With fire. May I tell you, not a human being in Jericho escaped except one person. Who is that? Rahab. In fact, she was a prostitute. So there is hope and salvation for prostitutes. The Bible says, in fact, if you study the genealogy of Jesus, she ended up in the genealogy of Jesus. So, the descendants of Jesus, there was a prostitute. But God changed her life. That's a message for another day. So here it is. Now, the children of Israel are going into war with another city called Ai. So, he sends spies. He follows the leadership of Moses. And what Moses did, Joshua repeats. And so he sends spies, and the spies go. When they came back, they said, oh, Joshua, this is a small city called Ai, or Ai. Just sent in 2,000 to 3,000 soldiers. They will be able to take Ai with no problem. But when they went in there, they were spanked. The children of Israel were beaten. Here is why. Joshua 7, verse 10 and 12. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Because Joshua went to ask questions. Why? Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of their cursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. What did they do? They took their cursed things. They put them among their stuff. The Bible says they have stolen and deceived. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy their cursed from among you. You remember the word I just read to you? In Revelation, the Lord said, until you destroy what is cursed from among you, and disassociate yourself, I will not be with you. Skip all the way to verse 19. Joshua 7, 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son. In fact, let me back up a little bit just to build this into get into verse 19. When they were defeated, and he goes to pray and he's told, people have stolen and they have deceived and they have taken the things that are cursed. And they have put it among their stuff. When Joshua went to pray, he searched all the 12 tribes. And now he came to the house of Judah. Achan was part of the house of Judah. Did you hear on Sunday that every good shepherd, every good pastor knows the flock? Joshua knew. How? by the Spirit of the Lord. He comes to the tribe of Judah, but he goes directly to Achan. What does he say? Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done." Verse 21. "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." So now, and I share something with you. What that scripture tells us, anytime we disobey, anytime a saint of God in the church disobeys God, that disobedience affects the entire body. That's what just happened with Achan. He was just one person for about 3 million people. One. And they go into battle and they are defeated because he disobeyed God by taking things that he was not supposed to take, and he takes them for himself. Number one, he said he took some gold. Where was the gold to go? It was to go into the treasury of the house of the Lord. He takes stuff that was supposed to go into the house of God and he takes it for himself. Believers, may I say to you, the reason Jericho was given to the nation of Israel, and they took all the silver and all the gold and all the precious metals into the treasury of the house of God, it is because of this. Are you here? Because it was the first city they were conquering. And every single precious metal belongs to the house of the Lord as an offering of first fruits. As an offering of what? First fruits. Achan makes the entire nation defeated. They go to fight the second battle, the second city, and they are defeated. They are, in fact, 36 men out of the army of Israel were killed by the army of Ai. Why? Because there was a sin in the camp. May I say to you, this is why some churches don't go forward, because they hide sin. They cover sin. And that sin affects the entire body. The Bible says they have stolen and they have deceived. Who did they steal from? Who did they deceive? What did this stuff belong to? They belong to the Lord God of Israel. He said, "Bring all these precious metals as first fruits." My brothers, my sisters, if you eat your first fruit, I assure you, your next battle, you're not going to win. I assure you, God will open and will allow the enemy. That's what the Bible says. If you are obedient in paying tithes, he will rebuke the devourer. Who is rebuking the devourer? God, on your behalf. So when we don't give tithes, what happens? The devourer continues to devour you. They took what belonged to the Lord, the first fruits, and he took it for himself. Let me tell you, I like what Jesse Duplantis says. And I love the saying. He says, if you don't embarrass the devil, he will embarrass you. Joshua goes. Pastor Joshua goes to pray. What is the defeat? Why is the defeat in the church? Why are people sick? Why are people financially oppressed?
Why? How come there is no breakthrough? I know I give the word. I know I've spoken on behalf of God. I've released the instructions of God. Why? When the Bible says, go to Achan, and Achan confesses, he said, the Bible says, he coveted what belonged to the Lord. Saints, anytime you eat fast fruits, you have stolen and you have deceived God. I ain't saying it. The Bible just said. Anytime you don't pay your full tithe, it is no longer tithe. If I'm given $100 or I earn $100 a week, how much money should I give to the Lord? $10. 90 belongs to me. 10 belongs to the Lord. May I say to you, and this is a serious thing, that the Lord has really been dealing with me on this serious issue to a point, my brothers, my sisters, may I say to you, we're going to prosper in this church. And the reason we're going to prosper, it is because if you're a deceiver and a thief, we will have to tell you, even if you volunteer in the church, to sit down. Because I don't believe you can serve the Lord when you are also under. Because I took what is the Lord, it becomes a curse. Hello, somebody. I know the message of money does not have many hallelujahs and how many amens. But may I tell you, until you get free, until God sets you free from money, every other area of your life will not prosper. It is the word. I told you, and I have given you testimonies through this message and the series of this message, that I'm a living testimony of what God can do. I don't hold back. Whatever I need to do, I do. I'm a maniac giver. And I made that decision and I said, I will give to the Lord. And guess what? When I give, I get more than what I gave. It is the principle of the word. Let me put God into test. He said, try me in Malachi and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing that you will have no enough room to contain blessings of the Lord. May I say to you, brothers and sisters, it is not just tithes, it is not just offering, it is not just first fruits, even your talents and your gifts, when they are not being utilized in the God gave you that gift for his work. It's an amazing thing how they were defeated by Ai at this tiny, small city. And you know what? Ai represents how the devil is prevailing against the church, because we have robbed God, we have deceived God, we have stolen from God. If you get a harvest and you go and sell your harvest and you eat all the money, that you have no money to buy a seed or seeds for the next season, do you have anything to put into the ground? You don't. And this is what happens every single time that we don't give to the Lord. The Lord, the word of God is very open and very plain in what God expects from you and from me in terms of first fruits. In fact, when I hear people teach about money, that's my I love those people, because I know they are teaching the principles of freedom. Let me tell you, this principle of giving works. The Bible says that the Lord lets the sun and the rain, both to the just and the unjust. And I'm telling you, even the unjust who know the principle of giving, God is blessing them. Somebody asked me the other day, if I have a business, does my business tithe? Does my business give the first fruits? I say to them, my answer was, if I had a business, it will pay first fruits. If I had a business, it will pay tithes. He said, that's double. I said, you're making money in your business and you're making money whatever else you're employed or you, whatever you make money. So both ways, you give to the Lord. Some of us, the Lord was dealing with me this week and last week about how blessed we should be and where we need by now to be. But we are not there yet. And the Lord said, it's not because I don't want to bless you, but because you keep on holding back. May I say to you, can I say something to you? And this is to the adults. Children, you can put fingers in your ears. You don't hear what I'm about to say. The question is, from our own children, why should we give an offering and we see when we go to give, adults don't give? That's the question. Can pastor answer that? I can't. So that all I can say is that you be obedient with that dollar or two or five or ten that your mom gives you. Be obedient with it. Your child is watching you. And they will ask you difficult questions. That's the question. But God is dealing with us. And I hope that as God deals with us, that we will all come into this conclusion that we need to give God. Look at verse 25 of Joshua 25 and 26. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned. Am I reading it right? Come on, somebody, read with me. And so all Israel did what? They stoned him with stones and they burned them. So first of all, hold on. There is two things taking place over here. The first one is the stoning. The Bible says they stoned him. So which means they took Achan and put him in the middle of the firing squad. And because they did not use, they didn't have AK-47s, and they didn't have lethal injection to execute, the stones were the execution chamber chemical of choice. They stone him, and then the Bible says, and they burned them. Who? It was Achan, his wife, his children, and everything that belonged to him, including a pair of shoe or sandals. They swept and they burned even his tent. Everything that had the name of Achan on it. God said, remove it. That's why even in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Bible says, I am calling you from the unclean. He said, do not associate or touch the unclean. Come out of them. It's a serious offense when we rob God. So today God is not going to have you stoned. He's not going to have you burned with fire. That Kingdom Ambassadors Church next week, everybody come with a stone. Every week, we will have somebody to kill. But that's not the word of the Lord in the New Testament. Verse 26, then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the Lord, the name of that place
has been called the Valley of Acre to this day. I wish I can talk about the Valley of Acre, what that name means. Let me take you to Romans 11 and verse 16. Romans 11, 16. Give us with the NIV, please. Are you there? I want to invite you to read with me from the from right here on the screen. It says, if the part of the door offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole bunch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. New King James Version. The Bible says, if the portion you give as the first fruit, you have given it to God as holy, everything else that you keep becomes what? Holy. If you give a portion that is a cursed, the one that remains becomes what? A cursed. So New King James Version said, for if the first fruit is holy, the lamp is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. When I open my wallet, I give God first fruits without holding back, and I declare it consecrated to the Lord. Guess what? The rest of the money that comes to me, because I gave the first fruit, the second fruit, the third, and the fourth, it is now holy. But out of the holy, there is another portion that you're supposed to give. What is that? It is the tithe and the offerings. Those, I will teach this as we go throughout the year, about giving and the freedom that there is in giving. May I tell you? Lack of giving, even when a man of God, let's say if Pastor Dominic does not tithe or does not obey God in givings, I want to let you know that my ministry and the anointing in me becomes stagnant and dormant. It's the principle of the word. If you study the word very carefully. So this morning and this afternoon, we want to give you an opportunity and thank God for those that already gave their first fruits. For you who have not given, I want to give you an opportunity to give your first fruit. It is the first Sunday of the month. It is very intentional. First. The first Sunday of the month that you give your first fruits. There are cards at the back that you can, if you didn't come prepared, you can write wherever you want to pledge on that card and give your first fruit. Your first fruit is not today's tithe. Your first fruit is not today's offering. Those are separate. Your first fruit is the amount of money that I earned as the first paycheck in the beginning of the year. That first paycheck in January 2019 belongs to the Lord. It's the first fruit. It is the word. It is not pastor telling you. It is the word. It's a command of the Lord. And we have a choice today not to be an Achan. We have a choice to be like the rest of the nation of Israel and obey God. In our, so as we come to give, and Dr. Rickards is coming in a minute, there will be a bucket here where we give our tithes. and our offerings, his tithes and our offerings to the Lord, and your first fruit, I want you to place it right here on the altar. Whatever card you write back there, it will be recorded. And I want to say this to you. If last year you pledged to give a first fruit and you haven't given, please honor your pledge and give that first fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you for your quietness. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, and we exalt your name. Holy and righteous you are. Thank you for speaking to us, and especially in the area of finances, that we need not to keep that which belongs to you. We need to be good managers of your estate that you have entrusted to us. I thank you for the spirit and the heart of obedience. And I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as we obey you, we are, Lord God, saying to you, we have obeyed, now do your part. So, Lord, as we come to give our offerings and your tithes and the your first fruits, I pray that, Lord, we are doing our part and we leave the rest to you. You will work out the harvest and the details of the harvest back into our lives because you are God. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray and we believe. Amen. Dr. Ricketts, please.